Okay, we're picking up from Mem Tes Amud Beis. We're at the second to last line. The Gemara says, quoting on the Mishnah, Amar Shmuel Olam Al Yitza Adam Es Atzma Min Aklam. So the Mishnah said that when you have three people, you say the lashon of you say Nevarech, right? And that went Nevarech Shachan Mishalal. And when you had Shlosha Vehu, the lashon was that you say Baruch rather. So you say Baruch Hu, which is Baruch Hu Shachan Mishalal. So Shmuel says that you shouldn't take yourself out of the klal and say Baruch Hu, because Baruch Hu is saying to them, right? That would be saying to them, Baruch Hu Shachan Mishalal. Only that you should bless HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but you should be part of them. And you're saying, if you say Nevarach Shachan Mishalal, you're saying, with me, we should make a bracha together. So Shmuel says, therefore, it's better to not say the Lashon of Baruch Hu, and rather you should say the Lashon of Nevarach Shachan Mishalal. So the Gemara asks, though, Tanan Bishlosha Vehu Omer Baruch Hu. But the Mishnah told you, when you have three and one, meaning you have four people, then he says Baruch Hu. It sounds like that's what you should do lechatchila. So the Gemara says, no, ima af Baruch Hu, that you have the option to say Baruch Hu, mikol makom nevarach adif. But nevertheless, it would still be preferable to say the lashon of nevarach, because you are including yourself in that bracha. When you say nevarach, together with me, we should make a bracha. Okay, just Tosus pointed out also, what was the havamina? Why is Baruch Hu better? So Tosus says, maybe because Baruch Hu is a lashon tzivoy. When you say it, Baruch Hu, you're telling them that you should mevarach Hashem, as opposed to Nevarach, please join me. It's not saying a tzivoy, so maybe that was the havamina. But either way, the Gemara's maskana now with Shmuel is that it would be better to say lashon of Nevarach and not to say Baruch Hu. And the Gemara brings a raya for this. The Amar of Adabar Ava, Amrei Be Rav, they said in the name of Rav, Tanina. Sorry, they said rather in the Beis Medrash. Tanina, we learned in the Mishnah, Shisha Nechokin Ad Asara. Six people can separate to multiple groups until 10. Why? Because when you have 10, you get Elokeinu, and you're no longer allowed to separate. We're going to see that in the Mishnah and the Hemshech of the Amud. And that's what the Mishnah says. So the Gemara is analyzing the statement. If you assume that when you say the Lashem of Nevarach, let us together make the bracha, then it's better that Mishumachi Nechak can make sense why six can split up to three and three. Because at that point, you're not losing anything, because they're both going to say, right, Nevarach Shalchan Mishalo. However, Eli Amrit Baruch Hu Adif, if you assume that Baruch Hu is preferable, then why does the Mishnah, my Nechlekin, why does the Mishnah tell you're allowed to separate with six people? You should have a Chiyuv to, once you have the Lashon of Baruch Hu, if it's really better, then you should have the Chiyuv to say Baruch Hu. Ela Shema Minah Nevarach Adif Shema Minah. So really, therefore, we see from here that Nevarach is the preferred one, and that's what we see from here. However, Shema Minah. The question is that the Gemara is just proving that they would be equal. So it doesn't necessarily show, right? Because it's saying that you are allowed to split. That means that Baruch Hu is on the same level as Baruch Hu would be on the same level as Nevarach. So it doesn't show you anything whether or not Nevarach is better than it. So if you see, Rashi seems to imply that with the Svara of Shmuel, if they're equal, really, then Nevarach would take precedence and become better. Okay, the Gemara continues now. Tamei Nami Hachi was also taught in the Braisa. Bein Sha'amar Baruch Hu, Bein Sha'amar Nevarach. Whether you say Baruch Hu, whether you say Nevarach, Ein Tovsin Oso Al Kach. If you decide to do it, we're not going to be makbid, we're not going to throw you out the window, it's okay, not a bad thing. However, the nakdanim, the people who are, or the, you know, people who are perfect with the diktuk, you have these people with the Kriyas HaTorah and things like that, people nowadays also, they also would assume, be upset about it. They would be medaktik and say, no, don't do that, and they would follow Shmuel, and that braisa would support the sheet of Shmuel that we quoted before. Sorry, just for that background noise, that was just my wife cooking a little. Now I just moved rooms. Now it'll be hopefully clear in the background. Tanin amihach. So as we continue, the braisa continues. And we bracha sof shel adam. And we learn from the way a person makes a bracha. Nikar im talmud chacham uim lav. A person could tell if a person is a talmud chacham or if he's not a talmud chacham. Ketzad, how do I know this? Rabbi Omer uvetuvo. If you say the lashon uvetuvo, and through Hashem's goodness, Harei's a Talmud Chacham. Then we could tell that he's a Talmud Chacham. Ever say Umituvo, and from his goodness, then Harei's a bor. That's the lashon of someone who's namaret, someone who's just ignorant. Why? Because he's saying from. It sounds like that Akash Baruch Hu isn't giving all the bracha in the world. Right? So it sounds like Hashem was only giving a small amount of bracha to this world, just enough for us to be, Rashi says, just enough for us to sustain ourselves. That would be the problem with this lashon. Okay? Continues the Gemara now. Amar le Abaye the Rav Dimi, but wait a second. You really think that's a bad lashon? V'haksim ubi brachasach yivorach beisav decha le'olam. David HaMelech's tefila takash baruch, when he says, from your bracha, that my beisav decha, the house of your servant, me, le'olam should be blessed forever. So what do we see over here? He says, "Umi berchasecha," that same lashon from the bracha. So the Gemara says, "B'sheila shayni." No, when asking for a Kaddish Baruch Hu, it's different. Meaning, you're not supposed to ask from the whole thing, from all of Hashem's brachas, only a small amount of your bracha you're supposed to ask for yourself. You're not supposed to ask. It's inappropriate to ask for such a large request to have all of Hashem's bracha. The Gemara says, "B'shila nami yaksib." But wait a second. No, the pasuk in Tehillim tells us, "Harchav picha ve'amaleu." Open your mouth widely, and Hashem will fill it. Meaning, ask Hashem for whatever you want. So the Gemara says, "Hobadivet Torah ksiv." That's only referring to big Talmud Chacham. And if one person wants to ask to be the Gadol Ador, that's appropriate. You can ask to be the Gadol Ador. However, when it comes to the next billionaire, so may not be the Derech Eretz to ask for the biggest tov in the world from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Continues the Gemara now. The Braisa says, Tanya Rabbi Omer. The Braisa says, Rabbi would say, Betuvo Chayinu. He's the Lashon of Betuvo through his goodness. Okay? Harez Talmud Chacham. If you say that Lashon, then it means you're a Talmud Chacham. However, if you say Chayim, not Chayinu, rather, you say Betuvo Chayim, that you just Lashon of they live, referring to others, then Harez it bored. Then that's showing that you're ignorant, someone who's not Ma'aretz, because you're saying them and not including yourself in the Bracha. Why aren't you including yourself in the Bracha? So continues the Gemara that Nehar Balai Matni Ipcha, that the Nehar Balayans, they said the exact opposite, that they thought it would be better to say Chayim because it's including everyone. That's what Rashi says, because it's including everyone, maybe it's better to do it like that. And the Gemara says, V'leisel Chasei Ke Nehar Balai. We don't paskin like the Nehar Balayim, and we say that it is. You don't say that Lashon, okay? Continues the Gemara now. Amar Rabbi Yochanan in Nevarach Shalchan Mishalo, continuing with Lashonos of what's Amaretz, what's not. If you say Shalchan Mishalo, then that's Harei Zetamen Chacham, that we ate from his, right? If HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we say from him that we've eaten, that's a good thing. Lemi Shalchan Mishalo, we say from the one whose we've eaten, the Mi Shalchan Mishalo is a bore. That's also ignorant. Why? Because it could be misinterpreted that you're referring to Mi Shalchan Mishalo, you're praising the Baal Bayis, the one who hosted you, because he's the one who gave you the food. So if you say Mishalo, it's obviously referring to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Gemara says, Amar Lervacha, Brei Derava Lervashi, V'har Minan Lemi Shasa V'sinu V'ano Esekolon Isma'ila. What do you mean? When it comes to the Haggadah, we say, with this whole introduction, we say, Lefichach, right, Anachnu Chayavim Lahodos Lahala, right before the Hala, we say, Lemisha Salavasinu, Lanisim Mikol Avasinu, to the one who has done all of these miracles. So again, it can be misinterpreted there as well. Who are we referring to? So the Gemara says, Amar Le, Hasa Mukhacha Milsa. No, over there, it's obvious we're referring to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Man Avi Nisim, we're referring to Nisim over here. The Kuchabrichu is the one over here. However, when it comes to the Zimun, they're referring to the one who gave you the food, might be actually misinterpreted to be interpreted as the Baal HaBayis and not praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So if you say Mishaloh, which is more direct, showing that it's from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's why you have to do it by benching. When it comes to Pesach HaSeder, we don't really have the Shaila, because you're not thanking a guy there who's hosting you for the miracles. Obviously, he didn't do them. Okay, the Gemara says another Maisa from Halacha from Rabbi Yochanan. I'm Rabbi Yochanan, Baruch Shachanu Mishaloh. Hare Zitamun Chacham. If you say Baruch Shalchanu Mishalo, that's a Tamun Chacham. Ala Mazon Shalchanu, then if you say only for the food we've eaten, that is a Hare Zebor, that's also not appropriate. Why? Because it sounds like he's giving a bracha to the food, praising Hashem, only not really praising Hashem, just the Mazon Shalchanu, as opposed to Shalchanu Mishalo, you're praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the food together. If you just say Mazon without saying Mishalo, then it sounds like you're only praising the food without thinking HaKadosh Baruch Hu at all. Okay, the Gemara qualifies this though. Amar Rav Huna, Breid Rav Yeshua, the Gemara says that Rav Huna said in the name of Yeshua, Lomar El B'Shlosha, this halacha is only in regards to three people who ate together. Deleik Hashem Shemayim, that there's no mentioning of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of Abbasara, Deleik Hashem Shemayim, when you have 10 people, you say Elokeinu, then Mucha Milson, you obviously know that there would be no problem, because you're obvious that you had mentioned Hashem, that everything was, that you're thanking Hashem for the food and not just just praising the food, that the food is good. Kedisnan, like the Mishnah says explicitly, Keinyan Shu Mivarech, just as the person who makes the Zimun, the leader of the Zimun, makes the Bracha Kachon Imachar, that's how we respond to him. Baruch Hashem Elokei Yisrael, Elokei Tzavos Yoshev Akrim, Al HaMazon Shachanu, right? The Mishnah said in the Hemshech, that was in the Nusach of Rabbi Yossi, we'll see in a second, that we're not going to pass it like this, but still, the Mishnah suggested that if you held like this, where you take different numbers, if it was 100 versus 1,000 versus 100,000, so on the Lashon have said, one of the Lashon has said, Baruch Hashem Elokei Yisrael, Tzavos Yoshev Akrim, Al HaMazon Shachanu, and that Lashon is not problematic because you do say Elokeinu, so therefore we assume that it's not a problem when you're saying it, when you say the Lashon of Elokeinu. Okay, the Mishnah said the difference between 10 or 100,000 people. So the Gemara says, wait a second. The Haguf Akasha. The Mishnah just said, Amar, there's no difference between 10 and 100,000. Alma Kiyad, I didn't know that they're exactly the same with regards to the Nusach. But right after that, Hakdun, the Mishnah, which is what we pointed out, the Stira Minei in the Mishnah, says right after that, the Chilukim, Bemeyahu Omer, we said that 100, you have a difference. Elef, you make a difference. And Achad Rebuah, the 100,000, you make a difference also. So then, what is going on? We make a chilek or not make a chilek? There's the Mishnah is Soser itself. Amar Rav Yosef lo kasha. There's no question where it can answer the stira. Har Rav Yosef Aglili, Rabbi Akiva. One of the shitas is Rabbi Yosef Aglili, meaning the one who makes a chilek is going to be the shita of Rabbi Yosef Aglili, and the one who doesn't is Rabbi Akiva. This not Rabbi Yosef Aglili. Omer Rabbi Yosef says l'fi rov akalim mevarchim, as the amount of people that you have, that is the amount that you'll praise Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Shneimar b'makelos baruchu lekim. It says in makelos. Remember we said before makelos loshon, whichever call you have, you'll praise Hakadosh Baruch Hu, which means in a different kal, meaning a different number, you'll say a different praise. Amar Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva says, "Mama tina beis haknesses, that we daven in shul. There's no difference between if we daven with 10, 100, 100,000. It doesn't matter. You have the same exact nusach habrachas. So too, when it comes to benching, we'll have the same nusach habrachas. Rabbi Akiva, haikrad, Rabbi Yosef Glili, ma'avidei. What is Rabbi Akiva going to do with the drasha Rabbi Yosef Glili? Mebay lechadatana for the following brisa. Rabbi Meir Omer, Rabbi Meir used to say, "Menayin shafilu ubrin shmei iman amru shira alayam." We know that even the fetuses that were crossed the Yamsuf, they were praising Kadosh Baruch Hu. Shenemar b'makelos Baruch Hu lekim b'makor Yisrael. And we're having a drasha now that Kadosh Baruch Hu in makelos, when Klal Yisrael was together with a lot of a big assembly, Baruch Hu lekim Hashem b'makor Yisrael. B'makor, playing the words over there, the source of Yisrael. We're understanding makor as the lashon of literally makor is the source of someone who's in the womb, and therefore to reference those in the womb would say shira by the Yamsuf, even if they were in the womb still. So Gemara v'idach, and what is Rabbi Yossi going to learn? Did the people in the fetus not say Shira? Obviously they did, according to him as well. Mimakor nafka, he learned it out from the Lashon of Mikor, and that's where we learned it out. However, the Lashon of Makelos, that's where he was Dorish, that you have different numbers, so he's able to learn both things from that same drasha. Amar Rabba, okay, so now the Gemara says, how are we going to paskin halacha Rabbi Akiva? We follow Rabbi Akiva, which is our nina. That's what we paskin shalchar arach as well. We follow Rabbi Akiva. Ravina and Rav Chama, Rabuzi Iklevi Rosh Galusa. Ravina and Rav Ami, where we're visiting the Rosh Galusa. Come Rav Chama, become Adra Abe Meya. So Rav Chama was looking for 100 people to manage the special, special osafa in the Mishnah. Ravina said to him, no, let's reach his hachi amara achamir Rava halacha Rabbi Akiva. We already paskin halacha is not this way, so therefore you don't need to worry. Amar Rava. So Rava said, Kachlina rifta be Rosh Galusa, when we used to eat bread in the house of the Rosh Galusa, mevarchin shlosha shlosha. Each one make their own private zimun, even though there was, let's say, 30, 40, 50 people there. So the Gemara says, oh, wait a second, levrucha asara asara, why don't you split up? If there's 100 people there and your five of you guys are all splitting up, why don't you say 10, each person says 10. Shema Resh Galusa ve'ikbet. If the Resh Galusa would hear, everyone's making 10, then it's going to be loud enough that you have to say it loud enough that you'd hear. If we just do 3-3, it's not going to be a problem. We're not going to have any issues. The Gemara says, well, v'nifku be'brechos Resh Galusa, but he's saying the Zimun with the name of HaKadosh Baruch Elokeinu. You're not allowed to separate, so how are you doing that? I did av shekulei alma lo shamu. No. Since it was too loud and it was noisy, we couldn't hear him actually saying the Zimun, no one was actually able to hear anything, then lo shamu wouldn't hear the Resh Galusa, and therefore it was necessary for everyone to make their own Zimun with 3, because we weren't going to hear the Zimun at all with Elokeinu, and we weren't going to say Elokeinu, because then it would be a kapada of the Resh Galusa at Bilzilzon as kavod. So the Rashba points out that for kavod abrios, we would be docha the din of asara of saying Elokeinu, which is only derabanan. Okay? So then, said because of that, that is the reason that's the reason over here that they were able to split up halachically into 3 and 3. So the Gemara now is going to quote a halacha about Zimun. The Gemara says, "Amar Rabba Tosfa, Rabba Tosfa, say how does shlosha dekachay rifta ba'adah dadeh? 3 people were eating together. V'kadim chad minay avarach ledaite, and one of them made his own birchas hamazon. So then inu nafkin bezimun didei. The other two can still make a zimun and have him join them. Iu lo nafik bezimun didu lefish ein zimun frey. He loses out because he shouldn't have benched, and he is not allowed to. He's not yotzei this din of zimun, whatever chiyuv derbanan deraisa you want to say Zimun is, he loses it out. However, they're still allowed to use him and be most of him and to their Zimun, even though he already benched, which is fascinating, because he originally had a chiyuv, so he's just losing out. They still have the chiyuv to connect with him, but he loses out on his personal chiyuv. That's how the Mishnah Berurah seems to explain. And this is halacha lemaisa, that if three people are eating together, I feel like people aren't so familiar with this. 3 people are eating together, one of them accidentally benched, everyone thinks it's over. No, if you still have 2, you still have the rov, you would be allowed to use that one person and make him bench with you, and he's not Yotzei Zimun, but the 2 people didn't bench yet are Yotzei their Zimun. And the same thing Mishnah Berurah said with 10. Let's say you had 10 people and 3 benched and made their own Zimun, so then you could use those 3 to Metzar for Asara, so they lose out on the Asara, but you would still be allowed to use those 3 because you had them and use them and answer them for saying Elokeinu. Okay, the Mishnah concludes now. Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Shmuel says that in the Shul they would say Baruch Hashem, and Rabbi Akiva would say Baruch Hashem HaMevorach. So the Gemara says now, Rav from Barav Gikla, the Veirakadish, the Igba Gavar. So Rav from our Papa once visited the Shul of Igba Gavar, that was his name, Kam Kar B'Sifra. So he was reading the, he was getting an aliyah. The Omer Baruch Hashem, And v'ishtik v'lo amar mevorach. He said Baruch Hashem, and he didn't say ha-mevorach, right? Mevorach is loshon mekor bracha. He's the blessed one, right? So avshekuli amah. So the whole Kehila responded, Baruch Hashem, ha-mevorach. They said mevorach. They did say mevorach. So he just said Baruch Hashem, and then he didn't. They responded mevorach. So they said the other Tana, amar Rava pasya uchma. It's the loshon of like a black kli, right? So you're like a okay. So black kli. So Rashi in Avodah Zarah points out that why is it called a black kli? Because the Talmidei Chachamim many times would forget to like wash their clothing because they're learning Torah all day. So it's keilu. Their clothing was a little dirty, and it would look like it was like a black kli because it was black. By the way, it's a compliment. So he's saying, why are you getting involved in machlokes? Meaning that even Rabbi Akiva is moded to Rabbi Yishmael that if you say Baruch Hashem Vorach, it's okay. He just holds it. You don't need to. So if there's no problem, then why don't you do like Rabbi Yishmael? And still, the whole we paskin like Rabbi Yishmael, and we say Baruch Hashem Vorach, so that's what we do. So that's what you should do as well. Okay. Weiter in the Mishnah says, if three people ate together, they're no longer allowed to separate because they started off having in mind that you have a zimun, and once you have the chiyuv to make a zimun, you now are obligate yourself to continue eating together and make mezamin together. V'chein arban, the same would apply to four people, meaning that you can't just have that one guy, no one's allowed to leave, that they have to make a zimun together. V'chein chamisha, same thing with five. However, shisha nechlak, and you have six people, and you could separate in two groups of three, because then each one's making their same zimun, and that'd be the same level. Adasara, this is what we quoted before on the top of the amun. V'asara in nechlak and adasrim. 10 people cannot separate until they get to 20, because again, then you have elokeinu, there's no difference. Shtei chavura shehu ochos b'bayis echad. If two groups were eating in one house, bizman shemiktasin roen elu es elu. If the groups can see each other, hare elu mitstarfin lezimun. Then they would combine to make a zimun. Ve'imlav elu mazanav azman. If they don't, then they're not. Then each would make a zimun by themselves. The Mishnah Berurah points out halacha that even if you say miktasin roen elu es elu, it's not a chiyuv. It's that if they wanted to join, then they would be allowed to join, but wouldn't be a chiyuv of roen elu es elu. This whole concept of roen elu es elu to make a tziruf is actually applied in a few different halachas. Like by Gemara Makos talks about it for tziruf for edus. The Rishonim wonder about that, about roen elu es elu if that's mitzara for edus, and also a very important din for a minion. Do we say roen elu es elu is mitzara if like if a man, one person is in the woman's section and there's nine men in the men's section, but he can see them, but it's a different rishus? The Reon Elus Elu is a big halacha shvayla. The Rashba entertains that would be permissible to create a minion, however many are cholik. Okay, that's not for now, but that's this is an important concept of the Reon Elus Elu creating a tziruf. Okay, continues the Mishnah. Ein mevarchin al yain ad shitin l'sochem mayim. We don't make a bracha over wine unless you pour some water into it in order to dilute it. Because in the times of Mishnayos, their wine was extremely strong. Ad kedekach. That Rabbi Elazar holds over here, if you don't add water into it, you're not even making the same bracha. The Gemara is going to discuss what bracha you make, but you don't even make a bori pre-agafen because it's mamish, not considered wine. Chachamim say that you would say a bori pre-agafen, even though it's clearly not the ikr. They would always add water. However, if they did not, you would still say the bori pre-agafen. The Gemara continues now, my kamash milan. What is the Mishnah teaching us this concept of three people eating together that they're not allowed to be to mechalik and bench to themselves? The Gemara says, Tanina Chadazim, we learned already this one time. What did the Mishnah say? Shlosh shachal gachas, chayav zamen. Three people who ate bread together are chayav to make a zimun. So the Gemara says, our Mishnah is ha-kamash milan. Our Mishnah is teaching of the following chiddush. Ki hada marabba bar Shmuel. Rabba named the Rabba Shmuel. Shlosh shachal gachas, kachas v'dayin lo achlo. Three people sat down to eat together, but didn't yet eat. So the Rash points out, no, obviously meant they started eating, but they didn't have a kezias yet, which is always called an achila. So the Imamish just had one bite together of bread, and on Rosh Hashanah, already from that point on, they would not be allowed to separate, and they would have the chiyuv to continue. Lishna achrina, another version of the answer, Amar Rebbe Bar Abba Amar Shmuel, he said, this is the chiddush hachik tan, this is the chiddush of Mishnah, shlosh shvash lecha ka'achas, if three people sat down to eat together, afa pi shekol echad vechad ocha mekikaro, even though the chiddush here is different, even though each one's eating from their own loaf, then einan reshayin lechalik. Even there, they're not allowed to be mechalik. So I would have thought that the whole chiddush of our mishnah, the first mishnah, is that it's only a situation where they're sharing one piece of bread that creates a tziruf. However, if each one having their own challah roll in front of them, maybe that wouldn't be a chiyuv for benching. However, kamashma in this mishnah, the fact that you need to mention it twice, that really is a chiyuv if everyone has bread together. It doesn't matter if you're having the same loaf or not. If everyone's eating bread, you're chayev. Now the third answer is the most tricky. Inami, the third answer, ki hadar avuna damar avuna, shlosha shabal mishlosha chavros einan reshayin lechalik. If three people came from three different groups together, they're not allowed to separate. What is the case? Amar Rav Chista, v'hu shabal mishlosh chavru, shesholosh b'nei Adam. This applies when they came from three groups of three people each. So the biggest shaila, what exactly is the mitzias? We'll go with Shitas Rashi. There's a big machlok that's shown like four or five ways to have this and the Hemshir of the Gemara. We're going to go with Shitas Rashi. Rashi holds that it means that you had three groups of three people, and then one of them, and they made a zimun, and then one of those people in each group then left to another. Sorry, they make a zimun yet in the first tier. The Gemara's going to in the Hemshech. But right now, the three people, three groups, they each had ate together, and then one of those three, one person of each of those groups of A, B, and C went together and had that group. So now all nine have to make a zimun together because you have one person in each of those groups now created a new chiyuv for the entire group of nine, and now the nine cannot separate. They need to make one zimun together. Amar Rava, Rava says, "V'lo amran ela delo akdimu hanach v'izmun alaya b'chadavaisa." This was referring to before that this halacha is only when if the first, if let's say group A didn't make a zimun, and then one guy from group A then went to B. However, if they already made a zimun, aval izmun alaya b'chadavaisa, if they make a zimun already, let's say the group A made a zimun, and then Reuven from group A went to group B, then he does then parach v'zimun manaya. Then Reuven doesn't have to then make a zimun. He lost his opportunity to make a zimun with group B. The problem with Shita's Rashi is to point out why they were shown and were bothered with this pshat, because if Reuven heard group A is Zimun, and now he's going to group B, what's the problem? He's already Yotze Zimun. So that's the Kasha Rishonim deal with. The Rush tries to answer Rashi, but let's see this Rashi, that's what we're going to go with right now. Continues Gemara now. Amar Rava. Rava says, Mina Aminila. How do I know that this is the Halacha? This non, the Mishnah says, Mita Shenigna Chatzia. If a bed, half of it was stolen, they used to have like a four-pronged bed, each side, it was two sides, where it would have the part of the bed, and the middle would be like the what our mattress is. But basically, each half of the bed is only functional when you have the other half. So if half of it was stolen, oh, she'av the chetzer, or half of it was lost, or shechilku achin, or shutfin, or if there was people who were business partners or brothers who were dividing inheritance, they split half the bed in half. Then tahora. If this bed was previously tameh, it becomes tahor. The halacha is if you have a kli that's considered a shever kli, no longer functional kli, it loses its status of the kli if it's broken out, and it becomes tahor. Okay, so what happens though if hechzirua, if you put it back together? So then the Mishnah says mekabas tu mekalaba, it only becomes susceptible to tuma now if it's going from this point and forward. Mekalaba in, so the Gemara makes the Mishnah says there's a diuk the Gemara makes from the Mishnah only from now going forward. However, the mafreya lo, but beforehand, meaning the tuma that it previously had, even if you put it back together, it would not go back to its old status. So Zegmar Almal Kevan de Palgua. We see over here that even since they divided it, Parakla Tuma Mina, we see the Tuma is completely left it, and it doesn't come back again. So what's the sushel? What's the comparison to our case? Hachanami, our case as well, came under Izmun Alayu. Since the original groups made the Zimun already on the count of the Reuven who made it with group A, Parav Zimun Minayu, his status of the Zimun already completely left him, and doesn't come back when he then joins the other group, when if Reuven from group A, and Shimon from group B, and Levi from group C, if they already had their Zimunim, they would not go back to make a status of now Reuven, Shimon, Levi, with a Nuchiyav for them to make a zimun. Okay, next the Mishnah continues in Hemshech, Shtei Chaburos. If you have two groups that were eating in one house, if some people see each other, then they combine to a zimun. So it says the Gemara quoting a Braisa, Tana, Im Yesh Shamash Bineim. If there is a person who's a waiter in between these two groups, then the Shamash Mitzarfa, the waiter, would combine them into one group for a zimun. Even if they don't see each other, that would be Mitzarif them. Okay, and then the Mishnah says, the Hemshech, Ein Revarchin Alayayin. We do not say, Bor Peregafen on wine, unless you dilute it. That was Rabbi Elazar. Chachamim said that you do. So says the Gemara, Tanur Rabban, we're quoting a brayso related to this. Yain ad shelo nasan lasochem mayim, wine, until one pours water into it, ein mevarchel al bor per agafen. That would be like Rabbi Elazar, ela bor per eitz. So we see over here, according to this brayso, you only make a bor per eitz. Because why are you making a bor per agafen? You're elevating its status, right? Yishtana leliyulah, it was lashon we saw in the sixth parak. Here, you're not yishtana anything. It's not in its best status right now, because it's not something that's drinkable. It's really only Ayde Ad Chak. So therefore, you wouldn't change its status. You'd only keep it as Borei Pre Eitz. Vinot Limimenu Liadayim. And also, you're allowed to wash your hands with it. Because, fundamentally, Me Peros is considered Zeya Ba'alma, right? Me Peros is considered just the sweat of the, it's considered just water. Zeya Ba'alma. So therefore, it's not, you're allowed to wash your hands with Me Peros. However, Mishnas Nosuchamayim, if you pour water into it, then mevarchel bor peragafen, you would make a bor peragafen ve'ein lo min liyadayim, and you would not be allowed to wash until liyadayim, because things like, let's say, oil and wine, which don't have the status as zeya ba'alma, they're a new chash of inyan, as we saw in the sixth parak, so that would not be allowed to be kosher for netilas yadayim, only may peros. Divrei Rabbi Elazar, this was all Rabbi Elazar, so we see Rabbi Elazar fleshed out that he would say bor prei eitz on this type of wine. V'chachamim omrin, the chachamim say ben kach v'ein kach bor prei agafen. Either way, you say bor prei agafen, ve'ein olim min yadayim, even if you didn't dilute it. So the Gemara now asks, so keman elzah adam ha'shmuel, Which shita is the shita of Shmuel that says, Ose Adam Kol Tzarfav B'Pas, a person could use bread for all of his needs, whatever he wants, Kiman Rabbi Eliezer, he must be holding like Rabbi Eliezer. What does that mean? That you can use bread for the purpose of washing your hands for the Borei Paragaf, and Rabbi Eliezer wasn't concerned with that. There's generally an Isser, too, we're going to see over here, about treating fruit improperly, and also wasting food. So how is it that I'm allowed to wash my hands with this? With this wine, so it must be that Shmuel held that you also us Adam Tzarach V'Pas. If a person is allowed to do whatever he wants with bread, if it's necessary for him to do, that must be like Rabbi Eliezer. But Tosos point out that that's not really true. Shmuel is just using it somewhat that you're allowed to use it for your purposes, but not allowed to ruin the pas. That's what it says over the Gemara that discussed the case, the sheet of Shmuel. That was what Shmuel had over there. The Gemara in Shabbos, I think. So that shita over there would not be fully lining up, but the fact that Shmuel had a kula, that's what the Gemara was saying was coming from over here. Because Shmuel doesn't take it as far as the blessed, you're allowed to waste food. Shmuel only says you're allowed to use it for a mundane purpose, however you're not allowed to use it to mamish waste the bread. So now going back, Amar Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina says that Modim Chachamim Rabbi Eliezer, Chachamim agreed to Rabbi Eliezer by Kosha Bracha, with regards to saying a Kosha Bracha, like benching, or Kiddush, or anything like that, that you only can use it if you dilute it a little bit, because we want the mitzvah in the best way, so then that's why everyone would agree that this wine is not mitzvah mubchar, so they agree that you should do that, and therefore you would have to dilute it. I think that's why some people have the minyag to pour some water into the kosher bracha based on the fact our wine is diluted already, meaning it's very drinkable beforehand. You don't have to dilute it, but just as a minyag based on the fact that the Mishnayos, that's what they used to do, I believe some people have that minyag. V'rabbanan. However, the Rabbanan would say that you say borei priagafen on this type of wine, lamai chazi. No one, what drink is people having with that? Where it says there is type of drink, amar abizira, chazi la korte. It's fit for this drink called korte, which Rashi in Chulin says is a type of drink where they added some honey and pepper, maybe some oil. It doesn't sound so tasty, but either way, that's what Rashi says. That's what the Gemara says over there. So this type of drink is okay, even if it's undiluted, if you add this honey and whatever. So therefore, that's why it's chazi for a drink, and you would make borei priagafen. Okay, so now the Gemara said, since we already said a concept of wasting food, so we're going to talk about another thing about for bread specifically. Tanur Rabbanan, Arba Dvarim Nemar Pas. There's four halachas that we say concerning bread. What other? Eim Anichin Basar Chay Al Pas. You don't place raw meat on bread because you're not allowed to ruin bread. That's going to be the basic summary of all these halachas. Veim Arvin Kos Al Pas. You don't pass a full cup over bread. We're afraid you're going to spill it. And then it's going to be ruin the bread. We don't throw bread. So I saw once the minhagim of, I don't know where that comes from, the Shulchan Aruch Beferish rules like this halacha. The Syrians, I saw once on Friday night, they'd throw their bread. I don't know where this minhag comes from. The Shulchan Aruch says, based on this Gemara, the Beferish Gemara and Beferish Shulchan Aruch, I don't know what they had there for it, but I've seen it before. People do throw their bread. But for us, Ashkenazim, for sure, I think it's not okay. And we don't use the bread as a support, like to hold up the plate, because it's not appropriate. Again, we're supposed to give kavod to the bread and not ruin it and treat it respectfully. So Gemara says, Amemar Marzutra and Ravashi, Karchu Rifta Badadadis. So Amemar Marzutra and Ravashi were eating bread together. Aisu, Lekamayo, tomorrow every morning. They brought before them pomegranates and some dates. Shalka Marzutra, Patak, Lekamay, Ravashi, Desinta. Ravashi took some meat and he threw it in front of Ravashi. And Amar Leis, so Ravashi was wondering, why did he throw the meat in front of him? Lo Sever Lamar Lahad Desanit. Don't hold of the following braisa that says, In Zorkin, Salokin, you're not allowed to throw bread. It's disrespectful to throw bread. So, says the Gemara, Hayi Bepas Tanya. Marzutra responded, no, that's only regards to bread you can't throw, but you're allowed to throw other foods. Vatanya, but Ravashi said, no, there's another braisa that says, Kishim Shein Zorkin as Pas, Kach Ein Zorkin as Ocha. Just like you can't throw bread, you're not allowed to throw any food. So Amar Leh, Marzutra responded, Vatanya, but wait, there's another braisa, another one. So I think it's a fourth already now. Alpha Pishen Zorkin as Pas, Alpha Zorkin as Ochin. It says that you're not allowed to throw bread, you are allowed to throw food. So according to your understanding, though, why does it say you're allowed to throw food? So Ella Lokasha, meaning that there's no steer between the braces. How are you going to answer it? How be meeting the mice? The brace that says it's usher to throw food is dealing with something that says that would make it disgusting if you threw it. We're afraid it will ruin the food. However, how be meeting the mice? If something that's not going to be disgusting, not be ruined by you throwing it, then it would not be an issue of throwing it. However, bread would still be usher to throw. According to this maskana, only other foods, if it's not going to ruin it, and for whatever reason, I guess you need to throw it, then would not be an issue. The Gemara continues now. Gemara quotes a brace, and the Gemara says, Tanur Rabbanan. A person could let wine go through like these pipes before a chasen and kala. It's like a simen tov, Rashi says, that it's like a simen that they should flow with hatzlacha. So So why is that okay? You're gonna, so Rashi says you're not gonna actually ruin it. So even though you're doing this thing, like shtick, it's still okay if as long as you're not ruining the food. And you can throw also in front of them these the toasted grain and these walnuts in the summer months where it's not gonna ruin the food. But in the winter months when it'll go on the floor, it'll get gross. And then you'd not be okay. So again, there's an issue of wasting food. People do it all the time nowadays. You have to be careful with this. You're not supposed to be wasting food. A person can never throw these rolls, like these type of challah rolls, neither in the summer months or in the winter months, because it is going to ruin them. Amar of Yehuda, shachach veichnis ochlin tochpi below bracha. If a person forgot and put into his mouth food and forgot to make a bracha in it, misalkan latzarecha bracha. You can shift the food to one side of his mouth and he can make a bracha. So the Gemara says, the Gemara is going to quote three different brises about it and resolve. The Gemara says, Tanya Achada, one brisa says, Bolan, that if you mistakenly have some food in your mouth, you're allowed to swallow it. But Tanya Idach, one says that you have to pull it and you have to spit it out. And Tanya Idach, Masalka, one says you shift it to the side and you make a bracha. So what do you do? There's three different situations over here. The Gemara says, no, Lokasha, there's no steer between the brises. How are we going to answer all three? Hada, Tanya, Bolan, the brisa that says that you swallow it is talking about Mashkin. That's talking about Mashkin, because they're going to get ruined. And therefore, you have no choice, but you could swallow it. The Shaila is, the Rishonim asked this, though, how are you allowed to swallow it? We saw there's Asr Ladam Lados Mazem Ablo Bracha. So the Rush quotes the Rach, which the Achordim learned in Medayik, like a Lamda Shechakir, that's the Isr Chevta Isr Gavra. That the Isr on the Gavra is not to make a Bracha. The person has an Isr not to make a Bracha before he has food. However, once the food is already ruined, it's no longer Chazi anymore, and therefore it's not an Isr Gavra anymore, and it's Isr Chevta, so therefore it's okay for him to make a Bracha, to not make a Bracha on this. However, there's other Rishonim that learn, we'll get out of this issue differently, that the other Rishonim say, no, you make a bracha right after. It's like Toch Kedei Dibur kind of type of thing, where you make the bracha after, it's still considered okay in this situation, B'Shah Sedcha, you can make the bracha right after. So the Ramah quotes that the Halacha, the Shulchan Aruch does not, the Shulchan Aruch completely disagrees, and the Mishnah Berurah thinks that we should go with the Shulchan Aruch, that says you don't make a bracha afterwards. However, the Ramah's Rishonim, though, that would answer this question also, because there's no issue, because you are making B'Shah Sedcha, you're allowed to make a bracha right after. Okay, that was the Shulchan of swallowing it. That was Mashkin Vadis and Apoltan, the one that says you spit it out, things that would not get disgusting if you take them out. If it's like a hard food or something like that, and you take it out, then you're able to make a bracha, then you should do that. Vadis and Masakan, the Brisa says you turn it to the side of your mouth. Let's not refer to Mimidamai, something that will get disgusting if you don't have it. Rambam gives example in Hilchos Brachos, things like berries or grapes, which obviously they're soft. If you eat it, it's going to be disgusting. So Gemara says, Mimidamai is Nami. So with regards to something that's not going to be disgusting, also, then why don't you just turn it to the side? Why do we make you spit it out and make a bracha again? So the Gemara says, Targum Rav Yitzchak Kaskar, Kameid Rav Yossi, Baravim, Mishmeid Rav Yochanan, Shnemar, Yimala Pitil Asecha. The Pasuk says that my mouth should be filled with your praise, that my mouth should be completely empty of other things. It's sort of, we see, don't have gum or anything in your mouth when you're making a bracha. So Glechachila, we tell you to put it, to take it out and spit it out. When it's not possible, where you already have it in your mouth and it's going to get disgusting, then we allow you to put it to the side. But Glechachila, you should for sure, because the Pasuk of this Yimala Pila Secha is you should take it and ideally not have it in your mouth when you're making the bracha. Ad kan for today.